NPR sports broadcaster NBC sports broadcaster Mike Tirico was one of the big names at the Mackinac Policy Conference this year. Tirico has covered everything from the Olympics to the Super Bowl. And starting this fall, he's going to replace Al Michaels in the booth for Sunday Night Football on NBC. Culture Shift's Ryan Patrick Hooper caught up with him to chat about civility in sports, how what happens on the field can be a reflection of our society, and what to expect this fall football season.
Is this going to be your first season play-by-play for Sunday Night Football?
First season in the booth. This is hard to believe for me, my seventh year at NBC already after 25 at ESPN, which means I'm getting old. This will be the first season of doing the play-by-play on Sunday night. I've done a few games here and there. I think the number turned out to be about 25 or 26 games over the last 6 years. Doubleheaders, playoff games, all that stuff. But full-time, full season, ready to roll, starting September 8th with the Bills at the Rams as the Rams unveil their Super Bowl banner.
I really just want to blow people's minds before I ask this next question.
Okay.
Can you just give me a rapid fire of things that you have hosted or broadcasted from? Because okay, I wouldn't be able to do the list justice.
All right. Super Bowl, College Football Championship, NCAA Final Four for SportsCenter, not for the broadcast, but I've been there for seven or eight Final Fours. Let's see. Stanley Cup, NBA Finals, those broadcasts I hosted on TV and called the NBA Finals. World Series on the radio, actually, which most people don't know. I got to host that event as well. Daytona 500, Indy 500, Kentucky Derby, Preakness, the Belmont Stakes, Wimbledon, French Open, U.S. Open in tennis, golf, three of the four majors, everything but the PGA Championship, bunch of LPGA majors, bunch of senior championship majors. I think that covers most. Indy 500, I did say Indy, I think. I think that covers about everything.
And what's your favorite? What's out of all of that?
The next one. In all seriousness, you know, you do so many things. Very lucky to be around a lot of events. Our NBC calendar is terrific right now. What I enjoy is the change, like the change in season that we have in Michigan. I enjoy the next opportunity, the next chance to do something. So as excited as I am to see Rich Strike, who won the Kentucky Derby in upset fashion, see him running the Belmont, see his first race after, the next week, we're right at the U.S. Open Golf. So looking forward to our national championship in golf. So I love the variety. If there's one that I enjoy preparing for the most, it's football.
Mm.
It just takes the whole week. You prepare, then you have a 3.5-hour open book test in front of about 20 million people. And you never know who of 100, 105 individuals, players, coaches, GMs, owners, might become the story that night. I love that week and how it's structured. You do it. You put it to bed Monday morning when you get back up after the game. You start the process over and do that for 20 straight weeks.
I mean, I guess with all of those calls and all of those places you've been, mm-hmm, I'm not surprised that you're not sentimental about all of them. But there has to be a moment where you crossed over or felt that feeling where you're like, wow, I'm really here. I'm really doing this.
Oh, sure. When you do things like host the Super Bowl or host the Olympics, I didn't mention the Olympics and that all that other stuff. That is my main job right now with Sunday night. When you do those things, it gets to you. I think there was a moment that I really validated for me the value of sports in society and for Americans when we were in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. And they reopened the Superdome, and the Saints played their first game after opening 2-0 on the road. In September of 2006, they played Atlanta. And that night, Saints won, had a big play on the fourth play of the game, a blocked punt. Superdome went nuts.
Well, guys, as this game wraps up here tonight, you think people are going to enjoy, they're going to celebrate, they'll have a good time. Tomorrow morning's going to come, and all the problems that people had in New Orleans are still going to be here. But for tonight, they were given a chance to step away and enjoy this dome that some never thought they would see again. New Orleans Saints, 3-0.
Just to see first responders, military, former President Bush at the time, among those who were there, it just showed you what it meant, because the football game was the first message to the rest of the world that people do travel from across the globe to come to New Orleans. First message to the world that New Orleans was open for business again. And it was on the backs of, or on the shoulders of, a football game. And that proved to me that, you know, this stuff does matter. It's not just the toy shop. It's not to fill out the half hour after news and weather. Sports has a real passionate connection, and that was a little thematic of the start of this conference this week, was just that, using sports, teamwork, races, genders, different religious groups, different beliefs, different upbringings, come together for the common good, and the greater good, I should say, even if they don't have things in common. And I think that's what I love about sports, and an event like that is one that sticks with me forever because it showed me that it is more than just a game.
That's a really powerful example of how sports can be a healing place for people, to bring people together. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it comes up at times when there really are challenges that we're facing collectively. I think of some of the first baseball games that were happening post 9/11, your example of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. And now we're going through times where it seems like there's always an issue on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what role you hope sports play as we deal with war, pandemic, and so many different things.
So I'll even expand that to the riots in Detroit, right? That baseball team the next year is a lot of the coming together of the city. So this has happened for a long time.
McCarver pops up. Here's three in. Detroit's the new world champion. And look at Fran picking up Lowland.
Whitney Houston and the national anthem at the Gulf War, the national anthem in Tampa when the Gulf War was happening. I think sports athletes are about not as high as some of Tom Cruise or other entertainment figures, but they're pretty darn close. And they have a microphone in their face more times than an actor or a singer. How many times do you interview a singer after a concert? No. But you interview Steph Curry after every game. You interview Tom Brady after every game. And I think athletes are now more willing to use their platform to message. And if anything resonated nationally with somebody's emotional comments after the ridiculously sad and tragic shooting in Uvalde, Texas last Monday, it was Steve Kerr, the coach of the Golden State Warriors, saying, "I'm sick of thoughts and prayers, and it's up to 50 senators, and they hold the responsibility and all of that."
Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check. 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
I think sports is now using more of the platform to project passionately their feelings, the athletes' or the coaches' feelings, on real-world topics that do not come between the lines than ever before. I think it's happening more often than ever before.
And still, there's always the argument of shut up and just play the game.
Yeah, Megyn Kelly's famous line of shut up and dribble.
This is what happens when you attempt to leave high school a year early to join the NBA. Keep the political commentary to yourself. Or, as someone once said, shut up and dribble.
There's always going to be people out there that really disagree with the idea mm-hmm. of athletes speaking up. But I'm curious if you've watched that change or maybe soften over the years.
Yes. Great question. I have. Think of Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan was reticent to make any comments about political issues and once famously said, "Remember, Republicans buy sneakers too." So you're very protective of your brand and how that brand is portrayed across the country, and one bad messaging step could impact your earnings potential down the line. So I think some are a little bit cautious of doing it, but I think they're more willing to do it than ever before. I think social media has given more individuals their voice, and they express more than the athletes did. Athletes used to hide very easily. Some still do. Some still avoid. Some of the biggest names still avoid topics like that. You know, I'm always conscious about what I share politically or my thoughts on a topic because I know that the people who are watching us, they are on both sides of the aisle. They're both red and blue, and some of them are purple, and they're on extreme edges that they like to come to sports to get away from that. So I feel like it's part of my professional responsibility to be available to everybody to broadcast an event without, hey, you're a this or you're a that or you believe in this issue. That doesn't mean I don't have, I'm a political science major from school, from my days in college. So I apologize for my phone going off. That's a fine in most NFL locker rooms. Not here, I hope. I'm very passionate about a lot of these issues, but I choose not to share them. I go old school. If there was something going on, you do it behind the scenes. I don't have to tell everybody what I did or how I did it and push my views on them. But if somebody asks in the right forum, I'll certainly share. But that's just the way I go about it. Everybody has their own individual choices. I'm glad athletes are using their platform more than they have in the past.
It's interesting that you bring that up, Mike, because you end up being, you know, the voice of calm, right, in some of these difficult situations when you're broadcasting a sport that could be bringing people together. And maybe to know too much about your political leanings and be like, well, I don't necessarily want to hear what that guy has to say right now.
Right. I grew up in an era where you didn't know the political leaning of Walter Cronkite or Peter Jennings, right? You may have assumed, and the network news anchors, Dan Rather, you assumed somebody could be a neutral observer. And I can flip that switch on and off. I can see an issue with neutrality, express both sides of a story, yet have my own personal feelings. I feel like it's a professional challenge for me to put my personal feelings aside and keep them detached from the event I'm covering. Now, sometimes there are moments that call for you to share your emotions, like 21 people are senselessly killed. In a school, where no matter where you are on gun violence / Second Amendment, and we've seen both sides of that sidewalk walked by individual expected parties over the last week or so, it's still awful, it's still painful, it still rips your heart out. So you can express that emotion without delving into the political side of it, because it's not the place to do it before, okay, and now here's the Indy 500, right? The green flag flies, and we'll see about tire wear and pit stops and all that. It's not the appropriate forum. So oftentimes the games, although they draw a lot of people, that's not the forum to get into a very deep conversation about social issues. The shoulder programming, the pregame shows, the postgame shows, those are ripe for that. In-game, I just don't think that's the place for it, because people are coming to get away from it. They can go use their thumb 4-5 clicks down the dial, and they can get all they want of the red meat or the blue meat for political conversation. You're coming to us for sports. Hopefully we can provide that. And I feel like that's a responsibility that I as a broadcaster have when we go into the booth or onto the set.
I will say an example of in-game breaking news. Mm-hmm. I believe when John Lennon was shot, mm-hmm. and they yeah. talked about that during Monday Night Football and made that announcement.
It was 1980. Howard Cosell was in the booth. New England was playing Miami in the old Orange Bowl. It was right before the game-winning field goal was kicked by the Patriots, and Howard Cosell broke in with the news during a timeout taken by Miami to ice the kicker before John Smith, former English soccer player, kicked the game-winning field goal for the Patriots. And it was just one of those odd moments, and you know, you hope you never have that happen, but there are times that news happens. We just went through an Olympics in China where we were ready at any moment for anything significant to happen. We had, you know, Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping 25 yards away from where we were hosting the opening ceremony. They were over my right shoulder. I look from here, not even halfway down this ballroom. When I did that at the opening ceremony, Xi and Putin were there, and they had just met for hours before, and I spent a good part of my Friday before the opening ceremony reading through their 100-page manifesto release of their how we're going to work together, which if you need to get angry about the world, you can read that in your free time. It's available online. But those things happen. We have to be ready for them. And, you know, sports is a magnet for society. It brings lots of people watching games. And you can't say, I know the audience, because the audience is so varied and so broad. So hopefully you document the event, inform the viewers about the people who are playing, what's going on. And when the game gets bad, you entertain them a little bit, so they can enjoy the experience of watching. I think those are the hallmarks we try to hit in every broadcast, and hopefully we can do that.
Mike Tirico, thank you so much for joining me. Can't wait to see you on Sunday Night Football this fall.
I look forward to it. Thank you. And Lions fans, keep hope. You can always flex into a game. I hope over the next couple of years I have at least one home Lions Sunday Night game.
out of the four major sports teams here in Detroit, who is the closest to getting to a championship? Because we're all kind of in a rebuild right
Wings
now.
Wings and Tigers. Championship's hard, but the Wings are in position. They're a couple of players away from being a playoff team, and then you start building there. I think the Tigers have a lot of good young pieces. I'm shocked that they haven't hit the first 2 months of the season. Lions are doing things the right way, and I love the group the Pistons have, but I think they're a big step behind where the Wings and Tigers are in their rebuild. So keep hoping. Keep hoping. Stay invested. This way you can say, I was on board when it was bad. I watched Cody Clemens debut at second base, and 2 years later he's in the World Series. So keep hope alive.
That's the thing. People forget. You're a local guy.
Well, I'm a fan, so I remain a fan. And, excuse me, I can flip that switch on and off. You know, if I go on the air and cover a Lions game, I can be just as critical about them. But off the air, I want to see those teams win because I want to see people come downtown. I want to see Detroit vibrant. The pandemic short-circuited a great return for the city. And I feel some of it picking back up. A lot of good announcements here up in Mackinac about what's ahead in the district downtown. And when you have a great big city, you've got a chance to have a real engine that spurs the entire community going forward. And Detroit's story is a really cool one. I think everybody who wears that D, that old English D, they root for Detroit, right? I think the Detroit roots tagline that the Tigers have used, and I think it's great because it's exactly right. A lot of people have roots here and love rooting for the city. So I am hopeful.
Okay, for real this time. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. My pleasure. Thank you.